Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. We pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of these assembled hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, for you are our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. This little season at the end of the church year, where we focus on the end times, draws to a close today as we look at the parable of the wise and the foolish virgins. And I think I can say that pretty much even every young child here can easily find the moral of the story if we were to sit down and tell them it and they were to listen. Keep your lamp full of oil as you await the coming of the bridegroom. It's not that hard to figure out. However, I think even the oldest and wisest among us might struggle to answer the age-old Lutheran question, but what does that mean? There have been different answers to that question throughout our generations. The early church fathers seemed to think that keeping your lamp full of oil meant that Christians should be sure to continue in good works throughout their lives. If this is the case, then this week would be no different than last week. Our Lord Jesus Christ, who has purchased and won us with his holy precious blood and his innocent suffering and death, has claimed us each as his own in the waters of our baptisms. And so being his children and co-heirs with him, made righteous by his holy work alone, we now live in these gray and latter days doing the good works that we heard about last week. Feeding the hungry, giving drink to those who thirst, taking in strangers, clothing the naked, and visiting those who are locked away in prisons, with a heavy emphasis on and an actual obligation to those who have found themselves in such a condition because they would not turn their backs on the Word of God. So in light of this, our early church fathers would say that those who keep their lamps full of oil with such deeds show that they trust in the blood of the Lamb for their salvation, and those who let their lamps run dry show that they do not. Those with oil in their lamps find themselves being ushered into everlasting without oil find themselves being ushered into everlasting punishment when the bridegroom returns, and those keeping it full find themselves ushered into eternal life. Our Lord teaches this very clearly about Judgment Day and the separation of the sheep and the goats, and we also know that this in no way destroys the chief article of faith, that we are saved by God's grace alone through faith in Christ crucified alone, and that this teaching instead puts works in their proper place and allows all of us who trust in Christ's merit for our salvation to rejoice also in the works which were prepared for us beforehand, that we should walk in them, Ephesians chapter 2. This is truly a wonderful teaching, and we should in no way be hasty in condemning any of our early church fathers who preached this using our Lord's parable assigned to this day in the church year. However, we must also not ignore that our more recent Lutheran fathers, by an overwhelming majority, understood the parable to mean something else and preached it quite differently. Instead of emphasizing the fruits of repentance and faith, which is a good thing to discuss, their emphasis has always been on faith and the means of grace. As a brief refresher for those who might need it, the means of grace are the means, that is, the manner, the instrument, the tools that our Lord uses, which he has prescribed for delivering the salvation that Jesus won on the cross for the whole world to each and every one of us personally and individually. We, of course, understand these to be his word and his sacraments. Without them, salvation cannot and will not be applied to you, no matter how many false teachers and false Christs try to tell you that you can find salvation in any other way. A feeling that comes up in you, or a decision that you yourself make using your reason. These are all nonsense. Salvation comes to you through the means appointed by Jesus. And we don't get to tell him that he's wrong. We confess this in the third article of the Creed. I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. You see, the Word of God is inherently powerful. It is not possible for the Word of God to go without the Holy Spirit working through it. If God's Word is present, the Holy Spirit is present with his almighty power. That's how we know that it is never a waste of time to preach and teach the gospel, just that it is never a waste of time to listen to it and learn it. The Word of God is preached. The Holy Spirit is at work. The Bible just clearly teaches this. Speaking through the prophet Isaiah, I'm sure that you are familiar with these words from the 55th chapter. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please and prosper in the thing for which I sent it. And so we see by God's own words that his word is inherently powerful. It is through these means that he brings about what he wants. The power of the word is found in the word. It doesn't need gimmicks or slick advertising. It doesn't need the right mood or some other man-made additive to make it work. It just works. It is the means God himself is appointed to accomplish his purpose of creating and sustaining faith in you. But Pastor, I thought we were talking about virgins and lamps and bridegrooms. Putting this all together and returning to that, we are to understand the wick of the lamp to be our faith. And we are to understand the oil to be these means of grace. The oil, that is the means of grace, the Word of God and his sacraments, saturate the wick, that is our faith, and make it burn. My dear friends, this has implications that go against what is taught in most of American so-called Christianity today. Our Lord teaches us in this parable not only that a wick can dry out, but also that it will dry out when we refuse to keep it saturated with oil. It is to say that faith will in fact die without the means of grace. The relationship between God's word and faith is like the relationship between the wick and the oil. A dry wick is worthless. Only a wick saturated in oil can burn with the light of true faith. The sayings are all too common for you not to know them with those who deny such to be true. Oh, I have my faith and no one can take it from me. Don't worry that I haven't been to church for the last 2 years. Don't bother me about doctrine either, especially if it's going to be difficult. Don't make me learn anything beyond catchy slogans that include the word Jesus, like, what would Jesus do? Or don't make me listen or pay attention to a sermon for any more than 12 minutes. I'm tired. Just give me something short and sweet so I can go home before noon and watch 3 different 2-hour movies that I'll give all my attention to. But for heaven's sake, stop pressuring me into confessing anything that might lead me to lose some friends, some good standing in my community, or members of my family. We've all heard them. I have my faith, I'm comfortable with it, and who are you to tell me any different about it? I don't really need any more than what I have, and now that I think about it, that means I don't need to go to church, because I have a Bible. Whenever I feel like God is telling me to read it, I'll knock the 2 years of dust off of it and finally open it up. Dear Christians, it's pretty obvious when someone's speaking mockingly in the pulpit of such things that you should not do them. But falling into these traps is very easy to do. We must remember that faith is not saving faith unless it is saturated with the Word of God. In fact, without God's Word, it is the very opposite of faith. It is a brittle, self-centered, dry, and useless thing that will not bring you into the kingdom of God. You can try to light it, but it will only give off a spark or two and certainly will not stay lit. Only a living faith, a faith that grasps the gospel and holds on to it for dear life, a faith that is soaked in the Word of God and His sacraments, can lighten the lamp that enlightens the way into the wedding feast to which the Lord calls us. Consider it from the parable. The parable identifies the church in two ways. The first is identifying the church as the bride of Christ. There is but one bride, even as there is but one bridegroom. Jesus is faithful to this one holy Christian and apostolic church. But while this is identified, the parable doesn't actually say much about it. It speaks mostly about the individual members of it. This is not a parable about the heathen and those who claim to believe in Jesus. All 10 have lamps, and all 10 say that they are waiting to meet the bridegroom. This parable illustrates the difference between true members of the church and false members of the church. And that doesn't necessarily mean just those sitting to your left and right in the pews. That can also be true, most certainly. But instead is aimed at all of those who simply claim to be Christians. The true members of the one church of Christ, that is, all who truly belong to Him, have their lamps full of oil. They hear the word of God at all cost. They are the wise. They refuse to let football games and activities for their children to let their lamps run dry. False members of the church are those who claim to belong to Christ, but are not actually members because they have no oil for their lamps. They are foolish. Wisdom leads to heaven, and foolishness sends to hell. This is no small thing. All the virgins are carrying lamps in the parable, claiming to belong to the bridegroom. But the foolish among them are making a false claim. And so it is today that many who confess the Christian religion with their mouths live lives that deny what they confess. They do not consider God's law when it comes to their daily conduct and instead follow the crowd. And the crowd, of course, replaces God's law of love with man's law of niceness, which requires us to ignore God's law when God's law condemns popular behavior. But even worse than that, and that is really bad, far, far worse than even that, these nominal Christians ignore what God's gospel says when it comes to their faith. The gospel tells them that they are washed in the blood of the Lamb and are forgiven all of their sins, that by these means, God comes to them to apply that salve of salvation to them personally, that in the waters of their baptism they have been robed in the righteousness of Jesus, that they may be presented as a pure virgin bride without fault or blemish to God the Father. But they don't believe it. They buy into the works of righteousness of the false church And instead of trusting in the gospel of the free forgiveness of all of their sins for the sake of Christ, they try to find God's acceptance and grace in their own religious exercises that they dress up in churchly language, calling it love when it actually is not. Instead of resting their faith in God's word of forgiveness, they justify themselves by standing in judgment of those who use the word of God, both to condemn and to comfort. Yes, people identify themselves as Christians. They carry a lamp and associate with others who have one as well. They are part of a group and they often engage in activities of that group, but their hearts are far from God. They will not allow the law to convict them when they hear it preached, and they do not care that the gospel should comfort them when they hear it preached either. The word of God is often a bore, in fact, claiming that they already know it, and pretending they end up with a lamp that is bone dry and useless. Judgment Day is coming, dear friends, and it's coming when we do not expect it. And when it comes, we will not have time to open our ears to God's word. Every time, every opportunity to fuel your lamp will be gone on that day. Now is the time to get ready. Now is the time to take stock of your spiritual inventory. We, dear Christians, confess the Holy Spirit as the Lord and giver of life, the Spirit of truth, the source of faith, the author of the Bible, who speaks to us through the prophets and the apostles and still preaches to us even today by the men he sends to preach. Those ready to meet Jesus when he comes for his church are those who did not despise preaching in God's word, but held it sacred and gladly heard it and learned it. God's word is the oil, and your faith is saturated in it. There's no genuine spiritual life apart from it. There simply cannot be. You're sitting there wondering, okay, do I love God's word enough to be considered among the five foolish or the five wise? Which one is it? Well, why did you come here? You know that this is the place where God doles out the forgiveness of sins for you. And because you have come to fill your lamp and keep it full of oil, you can rest assured that you are one of the wise. Now, it may be that at some point in your lives, you have made mistakes of which you've needed to repent. And for you, there is forgiveness. I can think of no other better time that illustrated this than COVID just a couple years ago, when many of us, including myself, made bad decisions, not putting this above all things, worrying too much about our own lives, about what people thought of us, not being like those who have gone before us, who have lost 75% of the people in their town to ensure that their lamps continued to be full of oil. I bring this up, dear friends, because the time is coming, says our Lord, when they will try to trick you again. You are here now because you believe this to be true. The Lord will strengthen you to continue to believe it when it's harder to do. Harder than just daring the roads in the 15-degree weather like you did today, which is certainly something to be commended. It's freezing cold out there. One slip off the road could mean your life. And yet you knew to come and to keep your lamp full of oil that your faith may burn the glowing light of the gospel. Keep it up. You, dear Christians, are the wise. You know that God's word conveys Christ to your heart. You know that his life is your life, his righteousness, his purity, his heavenly wealth, his victory over death and hell is yours. yours through faith. Faith that is not your own doing, not your own achievement, but is instead the burning of the oil, which is the very Spirit of God coming to you by His appointed means, word and sacrament. This is why we treasure the oil more highly than life itself. Coming to ensure that the lamp is full means you die the next day. So be it, for he who dies in the Lord never dies. This light will lighten your path into the eternal joys of heaven. God grant that each of you remain among these wise, who cherish these means of grace above everything else in your life, that when the cry goes out, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming, go out to meet him," you will be taken into the wedding, and the door will be shut behind you, that all sin and all of its effects will never be able to harm you anymore. The Lord will wipe away every tear from your face. God grant it to each and every one of you, all for the sake of Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.